Hello there, it's Paul Carenza here. Welcome to a Paul Carenza podcast. Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it? I hope you enjoyed last episode with Rachel Krieger, fantastic comedian, the Britain's only Orthodox female Jewish comedian. And we have another fantastic Jewish speaker, wise person, general, wonderful but human being for you on this episode. Rabbi Alex Goldberg. Now, he's a university chaplain. He's at the University of Surrey. He's Dean of Religious Life and Belief there. He's also a broadcaster, so you may have heard him on Pause for Thought on Radio 2. And he's very involved in faith and football. And he's just an all-round wonderful human being, full of lots of words and wisdom, especially on what they've been doing at universities in the pandemic and how, of course, his job didn't stop. It wasn't really a work-from-home kind of situation when you've got up to 2,000 international students still on campus who can't really go anywhere. An interesting, rather dark, but fascinating tale of a giraffe. All will be revealed as we meet Rabbi Alex Goldberg. First of all, let me tell you, elsewhere in Paul Carenza land right now, Not Going Out, season 12, I want to say, is on TV at the minute. If you are watching that, hope you are enjoying that. If you like a bit, that's mine. If you didn't like a bit, that's someone else's. And I'm on tour. The first broadcast is my one-man play. I prefer to call it stand-up history, and it's based on my other podcast. Yes, I know, I'm sorry, I'm podcasting around the British Broadcasting Century. In the first broadcast, I play two people because I'm too cheap to hire another actor. So I play Peter Eckersley and Arthur Burrows, who are two of the very first broadcasters in Britain. And I had a rather unusual experience at the previous show where Peter Eckersley, whom I play, his granddaughter was in the audience. She sent me a message 5 minutes before curtain up and said, I understand you talk about Peter Eckersley, my grandfather, in your show. And I thought, don't just talk about him. I'm playing him. I'm portraying your grandfather. No pressure. It went okay. It went well. I think I got away with it. In fact, she's sending her sister or cousin, I think it is, and her children or nieces or nephews. Anyway, the descendants of Peter Eckersley will keep on coming to this performance. The first broadcast is on tour. You can go to paulcarenza.com/tour to see where. If you'd like it near you as well, if you have a venue in mind, if you have a venue yourself that you have some sort of links with, particularly I'm looking for places in Birmingham, Newcastle, Glasgow, Cardiff. I'm just adding Salford has been added, and Devon I'm adding quite soon. So I'm hoping to get a fair way across the British Isles. At the minute, it's been rather Midlandsy and Southy. But do head to paulcarenza.com/tour to see where that is performing. And paulcarenza.com, click on Gig Guide. You can also see where my stand-up shows are this year. Anyway, enough of me. You want to hear the wonderful Rabbi Alex Goldberg.
Forgive the background noise. We recorded in a cafe. Think of it as atmosphere.
And here he is.
Delighted to welcome to the podcast Alex, Rabbi Alex Goldberg, chaplain of University of Surrey and many other...
Yes. So I'm Dean of Religious Life and lead a team of 25 from 8 faith and belief backgrounds. So, yes, whenever I talk about my job, it's like a joke, isn't it?
Yeah. How many walk into
an imam, a vicar, and a rabbi walk into whatever it is?
So. How many others? Yeah. I thought it's best you introduce yourself because you have such a long job title and CV. It's impossible.
I'm trying to shorten it now.
It's very good. Acronym. I don't mind the hubbub of a cafe because the origins of this podcast used to be, I used to actually even add a sound effect of a cafe to make it sound like we're at an exciting party with lots of people, but here we are
exciting people, and I think people are really happy to be out and back at campus and having a coffee. It's something that hasn't really happened for 2 years, and really it's only started again in January and February in this sort of hubbub way. If I joined you, Paul, about December in this room, it would have been you, me, and a couple of people clearing away cups. So it's great actually to hear the hubbub.
Yeah, well, of course, because we are, we're here in the cafe of Starbucks of University of Surrey, and but you've been here. We were just saying off mic thing that you've been here throughout the pandemic and the lockdown, and it's been, but you've been here even when many have gone, but people have always been here, haven't they?
My wife was jealous of me. She's a lawyer, and like everybody else working was locked down in the home office and the home working, along with our son who's doing his A-levels, and occasionally my daughter came back from university. And I was allowed to go out and about because I was seen as a key worker. And there are people here at the university who were international students who didn't make it back because there were deadlines of when you could go back to certain countries.
Of course,
people recall that. Some people are estranged from their families and didn't really have anywhere to go. So they would all be sitting in their rooms doing online lectures and occasionally allowed out. And we did extraordinary things under lockdown. So many of my Muslim friends have said that I trademarked the grab-and-go iftar. So I think that was the first festival we ran into. And actually, probably it was Easter and Passover. We did a lot of... But we did grab-and-go iftar. So we, once a day, people were allowed to come and get their food at the end of the fast. And after 3 or 4 days, I started asking students how it was going online and things like that. And they said, it's great, because whilst normally Muslim students would gather and eat together, it really just marks a moment of time when you stop fasting in the evening and you start eating. They said, well, we were marking it in a very British way. Mm. We were queuing.
Right. So that was
good. We did Diwali in a tent, Passover in a tent, and that. And we also went online, as I was saying, offline. And I was approached by somebody in America and stuck on this sort of 100 great religious leaders list, which is completely outrageous.
Great.
And and then all of a sudden, Facebook directors turned up and said, this is how you should use Facebook. And everyone uses Facebook Live now, and then went into Zoom and into other products are available. But so we did, and we tried it out. And first of all, we were allowed to do on campus in a studio here. And I realized that it was a bit of a thing, because we're narrowcast, and there are 17,000 students here. And we would get up to 3,000 viewers, not most programs, 1,000 to 2,000. And we'd have a Christian program, a Jewish program, an interfaith program, chaplains, people from our Centre for Wellbeing, things on politics, students coming on, student society. We just wanted to make people feel in touch with each other in the university. But in the early days, we did a studio broadcast. And the first time we did it, the technology didn't work. So I spoke to camera. They set it up for me, and they said it's running. I spoke to camera for 30 minutes, and I was talking to myself.
You just don't know, do you?
Yeah, no, I was talking to myself. Yeah. So we did it again, and that got about 3,000 viewers, which is not a bad percentage of students. And then my Anglican chaplain Duncan wanted to join the game, so to speak, and he came into the studio, and we again got at least over 2,000 viewers. And as we walk down, and it's actually just by here, there are people waving to us out their windows. They were locked down by then.
Yeah.
I've seen you on Facebook. So it's like very, very micro, localized celebrity status. That was a really good exercise. So we got about 800,000 views over a year. And some exciting stuff. Speaking to a program called India Today, because we have a large Indian student population, and they managed to get on the selectors for India Cricket, which I think was one of the most popular programs.
Wow.
And we had various politicians who wanted to turn up and debate with students. I think probably one of the most meaningful thing was the program we did with three African Caribbean societies that we have here. One's Christian, called The Chosen. One's Woke, which is more Africa-focused. And one's the Afro-Caribbean Society, which is slightly more Afro-Caribbean-focused, but there's a crossover. Three societies came together during the Black Lives Matter campaign and started speaking about what it was like to be on campus here, to be in Guildford, which you and I both know very well.
Yeah.
And Guildford is still... Although the campus is very multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious, Guildford's still a little bit
behind on that, isn't it? Guildford Town Centre.
A little bit behind the curve on that.
A little. We've got work to be done in Guildford Town Centre.
So it was all about... So that was good to talk to other students, talk to senior members of staff about what our students were going through.
It must be, because, adaptable in all sorts of ways that you never thought you'd have to be as a chaplain or as any job, I suppose, but suddenly to have to launch online and all that sort of stuff. And then now we're sort of coming through that phase of it. Is there a sort of, we're looking at how to do a, I don't know, maybe it's more in person in a role like you have. But I guess as a society, we're all looking at the hybrid thing. We're a bit online, a bit in person.
But we learn.
What lessons
we take? We learn from the hybrid thing. So one of the programs we do at the University of Surrey. I mean, it's not funny. It's a faith and civic leadership program. Mm. But we're doing it with the University in Barcelona, Trinity College Dublin, and the University of Zagreb. And we're able to do that because we can have people in the room with a massive screen talking to people in other rooms with massive screens around Europe. And I think that's a really great program about three-quarters of the way through it. And I don't think we would have been able to do it, to be honest with you, pre-COVID. We would have been reluctant. So hybrid learning is a real thing. I don't think anyone's ever going to go back to not using teleconferencing. And it's great. What we've also learned from it, I mean, I did something with a more serious note on Holocaust Memorial Day last month, but we did it all online because it was exam week as well. But we were able to get 89-year-old Alf Dubs screened in and interview is a parliamentarian, interview him about being a child refugee and talking about child refugees today. Actually, if you re-watch the video today now, because we're speaking in the midst of the Ukraine-Russia thing, I think it's more poignant today than it was when it was even more poignant, maybe, than
course,
a month
sure.
ago.
Yes.
And then we had 98-year-old, is she? Yes. Lily Abert. And Lily's great. Lily was really depressed during lockdown. She's a Holocaust survivor from Auschwitz. And she's depressed because she used to go to schools and talk about her experience. And she's locked down. She's 98, 96, 98, whatever it is. And she obviously was not allowed anywhere. And her great-grandson came to her and said, "Have you heard of TikTok, Grandma?"
Wow.
So she now has 1.5 million followers on TikTok.
No way.
And she's TikToked her experience. And she's just written a book forwarded by Prince Charles on that. But she's like a big celeb all of a sudden. But again, if it wasn't for lockdown, she'd have been speaking to groups of 20 or 30 a day, or maybe 100 max.
Yeah.
Now she's speaking to hundreds of thousands across the world. So, all the power to her elbow.
Cool. It's incredible the way we find this technology and use these new bits of media.
You can see I use young guests on my 89, 98.
Well, now we feel all right. What's the matter about it? Well, we both done the pause for thought thing, the Radio 2 thing.
Yes.
And, you know, which was then in person, and then he's remote, and then there's at some point might have to go back again.
I just got an email going, we'll probably be back when we do this date, but you might still want to see it remotely.
Yeah.
But sometimes it depended on which way the wind was blowing with me. So if the broadband was a little bit down, it was... am I allowed to say on this? But one of them was so bad in terms of connection, and it was just a broadband that was down. But I re-recorded it for the
I was tempted to do that because I had about three in a row. You know, they often get you doing the course like 3-4 weeks in a row, and I had literally three in a row where I had sound problems.
Yes.
And on one of them, a bit like you're saying, you know, you talk to a screen, never know if it's going to work or not. And I did my full thing, full throttle, thinking I was being, you know, broadcast. And at the end of it, there was a pause. And then Zoe Ball said, "We would just like to apologise for anyone for the missing words during that." And I went, "Oh, was it missing? I had no idea." And I listened back to it, and it had this weird thing where it would, every few seconds, it would go silent for a second, and then catch me up. So no words were lost, but suddenly it would speed up my voice, so I'd be double speed for half a second.
Oh, that I didn't have. No,
really weird. I don't know how it even happens. That's just some sort of weird.
So I had short. It'd be like the old shortwave radio thing. Going in and out of focus. It happened once, maybe twice.
I like to think that we are quite forgiving of such things. You know, now we are. You can turn on BBC News and see people on Zoom, you know, contributing. We are forgiving, I hope, of these things.
It's forgiving, but the technology's got better. I mean, the good old RMC has its own web platform.
That's true. That's helpful.
And I ended up on what is it, Sunday program as well. I chair the FA's Faith and Football group. I'll come back and talk about that on the side. But they wanted me to go and talk about football and God. And they said, "What's the best way to get you?" I said, "Well, surely you have that magic website." And they go, "Well, How do you know about that?
It's our secret, our in-house secret.
I think they only give it out to Secretary of State and Prime Minister on stage. Yes. But they got me a license through Radio 4 and they go, you're allowed to go on that. But it's a very good platform, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? It's not bad. I think they'll do more of that stuff.
And I didn't know what a roadie mic was before lockdown, or a Blue Yeti, or a...
No. Well, do you know that the road mic, that was my very first thing, as Boris locked us all down, and all my work vanished overnight, and I thought, we didn't know there'd be grants coming in and out sort of stuff, but I instantly thought, there's that road mic on Amazon, and it's, I think it was £70 when I got it, and I checked like 2 weeks later, it was £400, it was like suddenly supply and demand.
Yeah.
So it's literally the only thing I bought that week, apart from a giant bag of pasta and loo rolls, was... everyone else is going for the loo roll, I'm going for the microphone.
My microphone went through, it came here, it went to my home, I've moved homes during lockdown, so it was a bit battered, and I did a podcast with a well-known philanthropic organisation. They go, how's your mic? And went, well, it's been through the wars.
Yes.
And they said, okay. And it got delivered express within 3 hours. I got a new Blue Yeti. Yeah,
I need to get on a podcast like that where they'll send you kit.
It was a little bit crazy that they did that. It was very nice. So I think lockdown was good. I mean, one of my lockdowns, I was talking about Facebook Live.
Yeah.
I made a mistake for you. You'll love this. Do you remember when we used to have to think about what to do with our hair?
Okay.
Yeah, so if Facebook Live, I'm obviously on the screen. We, in the Jewish religion, we tend not to cut our hair from Passover for 33 days for various reasons of semi-mourning. We're Jewish, we do semi-mourning a lot.
That's great.
National mourning. Something happened.
Semi-mourning, you know.
Yeah, 2000.
Half-sad.
We're always upset about things that happened about 2,000 years ago. So it's 2 hours ago from Passover. I had two things to do. One was make a video for Surrey County Council to tell them everything's going to be all right and we've sorted out the burial scheme.
Right.
And the other thing was to make a video for Surrey County Council. Oh, sorry, let's do that. And the other thing was to haircut. And I didn't have time, so I looked for my clippers, because that was the easy thing. But I couldn't find them. So all I could find was some beard clippers. And I wasn't really thinking this was in a rush. So I thought, well, it's 0 to 10, I'll go for 3. And so I basically had a crew cut. And I think after Passover, like 3 days later, went on camera with my Anglican chaplain and a big sort of rabbinic hat. And eventually I took the hat off because it was so silly. But it was for a few weeks. The video is, and it's still there.
Yeah.
You've got the Bishop of Dorking, the Imam of Woking,
right,
and then me. And I look like a heavy from the from a nightclub. With a crew.
There's a sitcom in this. I'm sure of it.
The saddest and yet, well, a sad moment, but quite, if you think about it, quite a funny moment was those three people were asked to support Surrey County Council in some of the ethics and morality around COVID. And one of these things they phoned me up about was what to do in terms of mortuary. Sadly, we had victims in Surrey who died, and they wanted to have a separate mortuary. And the Royal Surrey County Hospital is right next to the university, and we have a vet school, so we have a vet's mortuary, a very big state-of-the-art mortuary for animals. So I get a phone call from the from Surrey County Council, the head of emergency contingency of police, ambulance, hospital, saying, do you have any ethical problems using a vet's mortuary or animal mortuary for human remains? And I stopped and paused and went, thinking this would not be a problem. I said, well, it's always, of course, I was kind of half joking, you've removed the giraffes. Because we have a relationship with Marwell Zoo, so the good old, once the giraffes are no longer of this world, they get given to our students to learn about giraffe medicine.
Is that right?
That's true.
I think they're thinking of vet stuff being like rabbits and dogs.
Well, they do that, but the Marwell thing's great because they can have a. If you go up to, in the one of the buildings, you'll see the skeletons of an ostrich and I think a rhino. They died of natural causes, but their bodies are handed to the students.
So they must have a very big freezer for a giraffe.
Well, it's a huge freezer.
Wow.
And I was phoned up, but I thought that was it. And 3 weeks later, somebody from our estates department, they run the buildings and maintenance and grounds here, phones me up and goes, Rabbi, I just want to phone you. And I go, it's not sorry, Council, Rabbi, I'm reporting back. we have removed all the giraffes.
The giraffes. Oh, really? Oh, wonderful.
I'd taken it there as a given. But so, the lockdown was... It was a very strange time for members of the clergy. People still needed to do birthing ceremonies. When you got 3 weeks out of lockdown, people would hurry up their weddings.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I prepared
speed weddings.
I prepared somebody. Somebody met somebody at the beginning of lockdown. Mm. They were wanting to get married. The Jewish tradition they need. I don't know. I think they do in a lot of traditions. They need to pick a rabbi to give them a course in.
Oh yeah, you know, the marriage course. Huh?
So I ended up doing that, and they ended up getting married. Well, they both. One of them lived in Austria, so they got. They ended up marrying in a place called Judenplatz, which means Jewish Square in Vienna. And they think it's the first outdoor wedding there in 600 years. So,
wow.
Yes. They weren't even sure about it when they did it. And one of the policemen came up to them. They thought, oh, that's the end of it. Wow. And the policeman goes, is this a wedding during COVID? He goes, yes. And he goes, and it's a Jewish wedding in Judenplatz. He goes, yes. Can I watch?
Yeah,
so they thought, well, that's probably permission, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I wanted. I was after an insight into the life, the unimaginable life of a chaplain. I never thought, you know, giraffes in freezers.
Giraffes in freezers, yes.
And you know, police, the most unusual weddings that police haven't seen before, and all sorts of things. You know, I suppose it's a constant surprise. And you've been here for some time, haven't you, doing this job?
I have. Well, I've done this job for 3 years, and I had a job before that, but I was always a part time. Jewish chaplain, well, I have always, since 2003. And my Sikh chaplain, Bahadur, tells me, he once said, oh, never mind about 2003, and we got the Catholic chaplain a year before that. He goes, I came here as part of the IT department in 1979.
Wow.
So I beat you all.
I didn't know there was IT in 1979.
Well, I know there was. I'll tell you how I know it was. Because I turned around to him and said, well, actually, Bahadur, my mum did her master's, because I said in Guildford, in 1979, and I was a little boy going around this place on a BMX, so...
Oh, there you are.
Tied.
Call it a draw.
But the IT in those days was these huge computers. They would take up a room, and they'd print off, I mean, what you can basically do on a calculator.
Yeah.
That was computing in the 70s.
We'll wrap up then, but two questions then.
Yes.
One is, what's ahead for you? Can you predict it, or are you now just thinking life is unpredictable and we'll just embrace whatever happens?
Life is totally unpredictable. I think I'm allowed to say this on your podcast. The United Nations have asked me and the University of Surrey to pilot a United Nations Faith and Rights course.
Okay.
That was a little bit unpredictable. That happened in the last few months by accident, and we actually look, I think, like everybody else in the sector that we're in, we are reassessing what to do. It's very strange. People are coming back into rooms whilst we had these huge, massive tents to pray in, and we had the biggest COVID-friendly space in the south of England at one point. So we're now shrinking people back into normal spaces as social distancing sort of gets a little easier.
Yeah.
So we're hanging our way day in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
And I hopefully... I like things in person. I like to meet people in person.
Nice.
I don't think this, as you said, this online thing will ever end. And I think it's learning from what we did then, learning the possibilities of what we did then.
Yeah.
And also realising that chaplaincy is great in a crisis.
Yeah.
We're brilliant. That's why we're there some of the time.
Yeah, of course.
Everyday crisis. It might be a bereavement. It might be your exams going wrong. It might be trouble with your tutor or whatever it is. That's the everyday crisis. But this is a major crisis for everybody. People are locked down. We met students who were solo locked down for 100 days. A solitary confinement, basically. So we're going to have to get used to being in a normal situation again.
A bit of recovery, isn't it?
A bit of recovery.
Looking back, And my second question then is when BBC Radio 2 say you can come back to the studio if you want, or you can stay at home. What are you going to do? Because I'm on the fence. I mean, I want to go back, and I like being face-to-face, but London's a long way. You know?
So when I used to do face-to-face before COVID, I was living 30 minutes from Wogan Towers, as I call it. Oh, yeah. It's Wogan House.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Radio 2 is. I don't know, how far are we? How far are we, Paul?
I don't know, is that Aaron? I mean, door-to-door, hour and a half, maybe?
Well, I do the early slot, so hopefully it won't be an hour and a half, otherwise true. Otherwise I'll be getting up at like three...
Hour, call it an hour.
So I think I want to go back and...
Well, it's nice to see people. Also, it's nice to have an engineer there who can help make sure they get it. If it goes wrong, it's their fault, not our fault.
I do the Vanessa show, I like chatting to Vanessa in the morning. And when I'm coming out, usually the wonderful Zoe is coming through the lift door, and we share a water cooler moment. I don't know, she does lattes at that time. I can't remember. Oh, I do. I'm just pressing the coffee machine. Yeah. Actually, the last thing I have on my social media came up from Facebook. When I said Facebook, as a photograph, the week before lockdown, is the Radio 2 coffee machine breaking down.
It used to break down a lot.
And I took a photograph, because I was a little bit sort of, I needed caffeine at that time of day. And I look back at this photograph and go, wow, pre-COVID first world problems,
Of course, yeah.
as I moan about some coffee machine not working.
Yeah, well, we'll see what's up ahead. Thank you for joining us.
Well, and thank you for having me.
I'm going to go off now and find a giraffe in a freezer.
There you go.
So that was Rabbi Alex Goldberg. Thank you, Alex. Wonderful as ever to chat. He is the Dean of Religious Life and Belief at the University of Surrey. He's in charge of the chaplaincy there. And all power to you, Alex, and all you are doing to support those people there, not just of the Jewish faith, but of many, all faiths and none, and nuns, probably. I don't know how many nuns there are at the University of Surrey, but I'm sure in some way Alex is there supporting them as well, and generally doing marvellous things. And having to think outside the box a little in this crazy time that we find ourselves in. In fact, I did a performance last night. I say performance. I was hosting an event, one of those very fancy pants corporate awards dues, for the University Directors of Estates Association. In fact, it's called the Association of University Directors of Estates, AUD, they're called. One of those sort of niche parts of an industry that no one really thinks about and you take for granted. But they hand out awards for the different University Directors of Estates. And I mentioned in the in my pre-awards ramble that there was this tale of the giraffe that had to be moved from the vet school freezer. And I said, I won't specify which university, but sure enough, the University of Surrey Directors of Estates, or the guy who used to be running it over the last 6 months, came up to me afterwards and said, do say hello to Rabbi Alex for me. And by the way, he said, it wasn't just a giraffe, it was a zebra as well. And I don't say it flippantly. I mean, God bless all those giraffes and zebras that, A, have to be moved so that we can be prepared for situations like we found ourselves in. But also, these vets, the veterinary students, they've got to learn, haven't they? You know, the giraffes and the zebras. So well done to you if you are a veterinary student, a director of a state, or a chaplain of a university at these crazy times, by which I mean all human life. I mean, it's all crazy, isn't it? It feels crazy right now, but let's be honest. It's always been crazy in different flavours. We need the support of those people. So vets, directors of estates, chaplains, this one's for you. I've rambled on long enough. Next time, James Carey will be our guest here on the podcast. A Paul Carenza podcast continues. Do subscribe, share if you like it, and do find me. PaulCarenza.com is my website, full of the gigs and what I'm generally up to. Find me on Twitter and on Facebook, at Paul Carenza, generally speaking. Instagram as well. I'm not TikToking yet. I haven't quite crossed that bridge just yet. And my new novel is up for pre-order very soon. It's not out just yet, but it'll be called Auntie and Uncles. Once again, it's on the origin story of the BBC. That's my thing right now. That's my jam for the next couple of years until we move on to something else. I think the Spanish Armada. That might be the next thing. Anyway, but for now, the British Broadcasting Century is the other podcast. The first broadcast is the play. Auntie and Uncles will be the novel, available for pre-order soon. So get your copy wherever you get books. That would be the plan. I'm self-publishing, though, so to be honest, when I say all good bookshops, I don't know if I can get my book into all good bookshops. This one's just me doing all the legwork, so it might be online only for now, but we'll work on it. We'll see what we can do. This has been Paul Carenza. You have been you, and God bless you. Whichever flavour of God is yours, well done you. Keep listening. Take care. Stay safe. Be marvellous. Live. So the coffee's just kicked in. I may never stop. Keep going. Be wise.